I thank God I'm ready to go, aren't you?
Amen.
I tell you what, there's nothing any greater and any better than knowing you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just happy to know that you can know. Amen. I feel sorry for folk, I really do, that feel like that they're not going to know until they get there. Well, you know, you got to get there.
Yeah.
But there's one thing for sure, if they don't get there, heaven that is, they're certainly going to know they missed it. And you talk about a sorrowful time, that's going to be a sorrowful time. I can't imagine, and I think about folk that die and leave this world lost without God. And I can't imagine. I don't even want to ever know what it's about. And fortunately, I'm not going to have to because I'm saved. But I can't imagine somebody that would die and leave this earth and wake up in hell.
Amen.
I just can't imagine the pain and the suffering that, you know, there's a lot of suffering in this life, in this world. But it's not going to come anywhere close, the suffering in this world, that people's going to suffer the agony and the pain that dies in their sins and goes to hell, lost without God. But oh, what joy and what peace and satisfaction there's going to be for the children of God that go to heaven. What a place the Lord has gone to prepare for His children. You know, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Thank God. But I tell you what, one of these days, we're going to find out just exactly what it's all about. We've got some things on our heart tonight with the help of the Lord. Why, we'll read some scripture if you want to go ahead and turn in Jeremiah chapter 18 that we want to read to you tonight with the help of the Lord. And I'm hoping that being the Lord's will, that is, that maybe we can slow down a little bit and take a little time. Of course, I need to do that physically as well as anything else, I guess. But I've been wondering. I always have a little trouble breathing, but I've been wondering. It seemed like this week I've had a harder time breathing than I've ever had. And I come to realize today I have probably put on a couple of ounces. My Sunday shirt, some reason or another, just didn't fit as good as it normally does when I put it on this morning, but we can get that off. So, but anyway, there's some things I want us to notice tonight. I was sitting and listening to the pastor this morning as he preached so wonderfully. When I talked to him last evening, I just wasn't sure. He asked me if I'd come prepared just in case, and I told him I'd be glad to. And but he was mentioning some things, and there's things that I already had on my heart that was kind of linking in. Even though it's an entirely different message, there's still things that kind of link together. And I've noticed that different times when we've preached here and he's preached, seemed like there's been things that's kind of come together. God just knows what we need. You know, I can stand up here and I can't explain things, but I just know that God knows what the need of the hour is. And what I desire anytime that I stand behind this sacred desk, I want everybody that's under the sound of our voice to leave spiritually fed with the Word of God. And the only way that people in the worship service can leave the worship service fed by the Word of God is, of course, to preach the Word of God. And that means that there has to be time of study that has to be done by the man that's going to be preaching the Word of God. And if he doesn't, you know, there's preparation in fixing a meal. When you're eating a meal at home, there's preparation. And depending on how great of a meal or a large of a meal that's going to be prepared, then that determines on how much preparation has to go into that. So depending on whether I was planning on preaching 20 or 30 minutes or 2 hours, depends on how much I had to study. And I didn't go to bed away after 2 o'clock, so look out. And all of that wasn't study time, but a lot of it was. But anyway, I want you to notice this scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 18, a wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. And I want to talk to you tonight about the potter and the clay, with the help of the Lord being our helper, because without Him we're nothing. Please keep our pastor in your prayers and ask God to just touch him and heal him. And I just thought God just stood with him this morning and just helped him and strengthened his voice, because when I listened to him on the phone last night, the way it was cutting out, I was just so happy that God just helped him this morning the way that it did. Please pray for him. I really appreciate the pastor giving us an opportunity to stand. And I appreciate when he gives other men opportunities to stand behind the sacred desk. There's just a lot of pastors don't do that, but we've got one that does, and I appreciate that so very, very much. The word of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, now, there's nothing like the word that God has to say to us and what it means. And he said there, he told Jeremiah, he said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Sometimes, you know, God's just got a place. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I've thought about this passage of scripture a lot, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3 states this in there. It says, there is a time and a place, as well as a season, for all things under the heavens. So God had a time and he had a place here that he had ready and prepared for Jeremiah. That's why we need, and I'll say more about it later on, need to be patient in waiting upon the Lord. But he said, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So he had to go down to the potter's house and arrive there before that he would hear the words that the Lord had to say. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And we have been in the hand of our heavenly potter, wouldn't you think so? From the time that we were saved till even till now. There was a fellow that had written several books, spiritual books, on different passages in the Bible. And this guy's name I learned was Philip Keller, was his name. And he had had an experience, I read, about being over in Afghanistan. And there's a mountain over there that was called the Hindu Kush Mountain in Afghanistan. And he said that this mountain over there, that it was a great range, and there was around 100 peaks that was in that mountain, and that it was about 4 miles high. That's pretty large mountains. And it said, he said in his writings that those mountains was kind of like a huge fist that spread 150 miles wide. Now, I said all of that to say this. There in those mountains, he found at that particular time this little potter that lived over there. And he had a little potter's shack, if you will, over there where that he was a potter. And it went on to say that there in these desert places, and there was some grassy places over there as well as fertile flower stern valleys that he told. And this potter, he said, was very transparent and just really shining. I believe the potter that we have is very transparent and very shining. Yeah. Certainly the Lord is that, if anything. And he talked about this potter going down, and he had a pit, and he opened up this pit there, and there he found his clay hill. And that's where that he would take his clay from to make vessels and bowls and different things that he made. And God told Jeremiah here, he said, go down to the potter's house. And as Jeremiah obeyed, he went down the winding roads of Jerusalem, Bible history tells us, and down the narrow streets of Jerusalem there. And he saw a potter that was working on a wheel. And the Bible tells us in verse 3 here, it says that he wrought a work on the wheels. And he wrought a good work on the wheels. And potters are very, very particular when they're forming something and making something, and they want it to be good. And we'll try to help here in a few minutes to describe several things that goes in to making a vessel. There's a lot of work from God that goes into making you and I as vessels for Him. Yeah. And only you in your mind, maybe in your heart, can you go back and maybe just imagine just a little bit the work that God wrought, if you will, as the potter did in performing you and I as a vessel for Him, a fit vessel for Him, a vessel that looked good, a vessel that would be durable, and a vessel that would hold out and it would last. And certainly there's a lot of work that goes into that. So Jeremiah went down there. Now, we find that on those potter's wheels back in Jeremiah's time, there was actually two different parts of that wheel. And they were kind of upward and lowered, if you will, joined together. And as Jeremiah entered into the potter's house there, he saw him working on that wheel. So he would take that clay and he would roll it up and he would slap it upon that wheel that was connected by the shafts. And he had pedals that they would pedal and make that wheel turn at the speed that they needed to turn. So in order that they would make it smoothly and turn it into what they wanted it to be. And as Jeremiah watched this potter place that lump we find on that wheel here, why, the potter would take his thumbs and he would press into that clay. And he would press it real deep into the clay. I believe God, in our lives, when we were yet in sin, when God first put us on the wheel before we were saved, no doubt He pressed very deeply into our lives because sin was deep in our hearts and in our lives. And God went into the depths of our hearts to create and to mold and to make a heart that was satisfactory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And these potters, they don't want anything, any flaws or anything in their work. Now, God, when He saved us, He cleansed us and from all sin that we had in our lives. He never left one flaw in our lives when we were first saved by the marvelous grace of God. There was not a flaw whatsoever when we were born again. God got everything out of our lives that needed to be out at that particular time. And I want to share with you, if I can tonight, six different things, if I can get to all of them, that can teach us today about some ordinary, dirty clay. And that's what we were before we were born of the Holy Spirit of God. We was just a dirty lump of clay that needed to be molded and needed to be formed into something that was fit for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God. And the first thing that I want to bring to our attention tonight is this. The first thing that has to be done is the gathering of the clay. You've got to have something to work with. You know, back in the book of Genesis, the Bible teaches us that God took the dust of the ground and He formed man from the very dust of the ground. So God gathered something. He gathered some dirt. He gathered some clay even to create us and to bring us into this world that you and I are living in today. So looking at the gathering here, the potter, he has to start by the gathering. And brothers and sisters today, I believe that as a potter has to do when he reaches down into these big holes, and these big holes, as I mentioned a little bit this morning in the announcement, these big holes, they are filthy, they're dirty, they're stinky, and it's hard to imagine the odor and the smell when these potters go down into these holes to get this clay to create something that eventually is going to look good, something that's even going to smell good. When God gathered me, no doubt He reached into a very deep hole of sin to pull me and you out. And it was a hole that was just rotten. It was a hole that was just smelly and had all kinds of corruption, if you will, that was in that. And I believe that it talks about this particular potter having long fingers and him reaching his long fingers over in Afghanistan into the clay that this brother saw. And I believe that the long fingers of God from heaven came down into this marry clay of sin that we were in before we were saved by the grace of God, and God pulled us out. Aren't you thankful tonight that God pulled you out of the marry claves of sin? Thank God and established our goings. And it reminds us often of the horrible pit that we were drawn up from the master potter when he came looking for you and I today. And we were in our filthy sin. So I'm glad to know that God, with His great love and with His infinite care, that He pulled us up out of the marry clays of sin and established our goings, amen, and made something out of it. Now, I want us to think about something tonight, if we will, for just a minute or two. Aren't you glad that His grace and His mercy was extended after you and I tonight? You know, we couldn't be here in this service. We'd still be in the depths of sin if it hadn't have been for the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His goodness. Thank God for a potter that can take something that is useless, that's worthless, and that's doomed and damned for a devil's hell, and pull it out of the miry claves of sin, the stinkness of the world, and create something that's beautiful in His sight. And I want to tell you something. I know that we live in a beautiful world that we live in. And of all the beauty that God created in this world, I'm convinced and I believe that God sees that beauty certainly that He created in this world. But I believe one of the most beautiful things even that the eyes of God sees is when an individual, a man or a woman, surrenders their hearts and their lives to God and they let Him put them on that wheel, on that potter's wheel, and spin it and begin to make something that's fit for the kingdom of God. But I believe God sees beauty in that when we're saved by His marvelous grace. And the second thing that I like to mention to you tonight, there's a cleansing, a process that goes in to what the potter does to make this clay. And he feels for and he removes any little twigs that there is that's there. And the potter even does this where there's so much corruption and stuff into a lump of clay. A potter will take a rod and he will take that rod and he will beat and he will beat and he will beat trying to turn that into a piece of perfection and something that is worth doing something with. And I want to tell you something today. Once we're saved, even then God has to mold us and to make us into what would be pleasing unto God and to be the servant that He would have us to be, or to be in the calling that He would have us to be in. God had to work with me when I started preaching. God worked with me before that I ever announced my call. And I felt like that He had me on that wheel and that He was forming me and trying to make a preacher boy out of that young man back during that time. So you see, as they begin to clean and remove all of the impurities and the things that are in this clay in order that they could make it. So, sometimes there'll be a crack that'll come in that lump of clay as a potter I would make it. And sometimes it's just an unfortunate thing. Everything seems to look pretty good and seems to be going pretty good, but sometimes it'll have a crack and the potter will have to kind of destroy that, and he'll recreate it. And in the study that we did, I learned that he moisturizes his hands and he begins to make that and to make it smooth to get any cracks or anything of that sort out of that lump of clay. And God wants us to be vessels that are useful to the work of God. He wants you and I to be able to do something that He's worthy of, and something that can be used for His honor and for His glory. God can't use a vessel, brothers and sisters, or a lump of clay that's all broken up and that has a lot of twigs and has a lot of sin and branches and things of that sort, of filth that would be in it. God cannot use someone that is full of sin in this life, no more than a potter can use a lump of clay that's full of stuff today. So I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, that it hadn't have been for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's what cleansed me and you. That cleansed us from every sin that we had in our lives. When I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I certainly wasn't still, brothers and sisters, a perfect man, but God had forgiven me and forgave you of every sin that you'd ever committed, brothers and sisters, in your day and time. Now, I know that certain things follow, maybe after that, where we sin and come short of the glory of God. But I'm glad to know that God cleansed us. The Bible teaches us that He cleansed us from all of our sins. So today, that's why that we're on our way to heaven today, is because that He cleansed us. Now, sometimes I feel like that if we're not careful, if we're cleaning something up, whether it would be your house or whether it would be your automobile, if we get in a hurry sometimes, and sometimes we want to rush a cleansing process, and there's time that has to be taken and that goes in to a cleansing process, and it's not to be rushed, and God doesn't want you and I to rush the cleansing process that He does in our lives. And sometimes, you know, after that, God has laid us upon the table, that the potters has a table that they'll lay their clay upon sometimes to work with it after they've taken it off of the wheel. And God will lay us on that table, you see, to work with us and to try to make something out of us. Now, the Bible tells this. The psalmist said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgressions. So you see, in order to be cleaned, our transgressions, our sins had to be blotted out. I'm glad that God blotted them out. Oh, I claim to be anything other than what the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all we are. We were just a lump of clay that was laying in a hole that was full of sin. Amen. And we were worthless, brothers and sisters, until that potter reached his hand down. I've always felt this way. I've always felt he had to reach further in that hole to pull me out than he did anybody. Amen. Do you ever feel that way about it? Oh, yes, there's got to be a cleaning process. He said here, it said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from mine sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I want to tell you something today. I was 11 years old when I was saved, but I was still in sin. Amen. But I can still remember today, my transgressions will always be before me. But thank God He forgave me. Aren't you thankful tonight that you know when you lay down the walks of this life that you're going to be a fit example for the kingdom of God? Oh, He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. There's nothing any more beautiful than a big snow would fall. And it looks so pretty. It looks clean, whether it is or not, with this air that we have and all the smog and stuff that's going through it. You can't just go out anymore. I know back in my childhood days, my mama used to make a lot of snow cream. But this day and time, you don't know if you ought to make any snow cream or not. If you do, you feel like you might ought to have to boil it for a half a day to get all the filth out of it. But I'm thankful today that God, I reached down and got the filth out of me. Now the third step that I want to mention to you tonight is the shaping of the wheel. And the potter's form forms the clay into a lump. And he placed it on that wheel. And he began to turn it and he began to spin. Amen. And I want to tell you something. This clay, it can't be too dry and it can't be too wet. It's got to be just exactly exactly right. There's got to be just enough moisture that's in that lump of clay in order to create what it was. Oh, listen to me today. God knew exactly what it would take. Brothers and sisters, He knew just exactly what it would take to create us and to make us into what He would have us to be. Now, I'll tell you what, the potter, as he completes the vessel, I believe that he looks upon it, and he looks upon it with joy, and he looks upon it with pride, and as saying, "My, I've taken nothing here. I've took something that was worthless to man, that something that man would just stomp on or walk on or ignore and not even pay any attention to. And here I've made something beautiful that can be set upon the shelf that people may look upon and see the work that he wrought." I want to tell you something today. There's nothing any more beautiful than you and I when we were saved by the grace of God. Aren't you thankful for that today? Oh, listen. There's broken pieces that takes place and that, and it collapses and all of that. But I'll tell you what, you know, we resist. We resist. The Lord wanted to mold us and to make us into what we need to be for Him today. Sometimes we wonder in life, as life goes by, and things happen, and we go through things a lot of times in life, and a lot of heartaches, and we go through things that we maybe would rather not go through as a Christian sometimes in life. And sometimes we wonder, will we ever be able to work in His service again? Will we ever be able to teach a class again? Will we ever be able to preach again? Will we ever be able to just go and just be a prayer warrior for the cause of Christ? But I'm telling you today that God's able to take us when we're broken down and turn us into something that's useful for His service again. Thank God for that today. After this, our vessel is finally finished. Why? Brethren, he takes a fine thread, they say, and puts in this, and as he moistens it and draws it across the bottom of this lump of clay that he has there, it separates the vessel from the lumps. And the timing is very important, I believe it today. And the timing is important in our lives. There's a time, my beloved, today. I believe there's a certain time in everybody's life, you know, that God is going to do a work in their hearts and in their lives today. Notice today, if you will, the fourth thing I want you to notice. I'm trying to move along as quickly as possible, but the fourth thing I'd like for you to notice today, there's a time for the drying. You see, it's got all the moisture and stuff in it now. There's a time for drying, and this is a slow process. And sometimes maybe we want to hurry up on that. And there's been digging, and there's been proging, and there's been spinning, and there's been no rest whatsoever. Seems like there's times in our lives that we have a lot of digging. We have a lot of proging that's going on in our Christianity and in our lives. And it seems like that we get tired, and we get weary, and we'd like for things to hurry along. So if the vessel is fired, if you will, in the fire, before it's properly dried, then it's going to break and it's going to be useless. I want you to notice something today. Now, when God reaches down, we need to let God just do the work in our lives. We need to just take the little rest that God would have us to rest, as the potter will rest these lumps of clay and these vessels upon the shelf there. Sometimes it's good that we just take that period of time and just let God work at the pace that He wants to work in our lives. You know, I've never liked for anybody to get up and say so-and-so needs to announce their call to preach or this, that, and the other. I feel like we need to let God do that and let God be the one to say that it's time to do so. But listen, it wouldn't have been good for me to rush the process when God, I was called calling me into the ministry. Sometimes God is maybe going to deal with somebody as He has our brother in the youth ministry and has got him doing that. So God has different things for different people today, but there's a little time that has to be taken. You see, before that is to take place. So we seem to be on God's shelf, and sometimes we seem to be out of His service or out of His will, we think, at many times. So then there's a firing process is the fifth thing I want to mention. And they say that this lump of clay, when a potter is working with this lump of clay, that he has to heat this this heating unit up to about 2,000 degrees. That's a pretty hot temperature. I don't know if they do it any different today than they did back years ago, but I used to work some part-time for a funeral home, and cremation was about 1,700 degrees, but and that gets rid of you, all but the ashes. But here in the study, they said that it's about 2,000 degrees in the firing process that the temperature has to be to do its job and to do its well. And as this vessel is fired, it experiences changes. Amen. I tell you what, as God comes down into our lives, there's a lot of changes that takes place. When you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's changes that takes place, or salvation never took place. Amen. I tell you what, I know people may slip up along the way, but there ought to be some kind of a change that's took place. There ought to be a notice change, if you will, that'll take place in somebody's life. People ought to be able to stand back over here and look and say, Brother Earl, there's a difference in Brother Earl over there, and there's a change that's took place in that person's life. And I'm not listening to the profanity that I used to listen to and the swearing maybe that they used to. He don't gamble like he did. He's quit that, and he's quit a lot of things. So this vessel today, you see, is soft and it's easily mired, but now it's hard and now it's durable after it's been fired. So that causes it to become a useful vessel. I want you to think about something today, if you will. Slowly, I believe that Satan does everything that he can to steal our spirituality. Wouldn't you agree with that? He moves in very slowly. Well, he's always been represented kind of like a snake, and they just kind of slip in on you, you know. The preacher was talking about one, I believe, down to his house the other day that he had to take care of and all of that. But they'll slip in. Satan moves in just a little bit at a time, and he tries to corrupt that God has done. All the hard work that God has done in trying to create us into the Christian that He would be pleasing with, and all of that. Why, the devil tries to creep in at times, and he'll have you saying something that you ought not say. He'll have you maybe saying something about somebody that you normally would never say anything about. He'll have you to prejudge somebody maybe for a certain thing, and all of that. So the devil is a destroyer, and he does everything he can. Now, if he can keep you out of hell, if he's done lost that battle, and he lost it with me, thank God, and he's lost it with you if you're saved, but if he can't get you in hell, he's going to do everything he can to keep you out of the house of God. He's going to do everything he can to keep you out of the Word of God. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from praying and doing what God would have you to do. And when you've been at church service, and maybe God would speak to you and bid you to say a word of testimony, He'll try to keep you from doing that. If you can sing any at all, the devil will try to get you to quit singing, and he'll have you offering up every excuse that he can to keep you from singing the praises of God. You see, that's just what he wants. He don't want you to work and to labor in this church. He don't want you to help the pastor do anything. He didn't want nobody to go out on visitation or do anything. He would rather us just sit in the chair of do nothing. Brother Glenn Mullins, some of you may remember him. I remember something that our brother Glenn used to say. He said, we get all we can all we get, and then we sit on the can. Amen. And that's about what sometimes people do. So that's what the devil's trying to do. He don't want this church to grow. He don't want it to prosper. He don't want it to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He don't want us to come around the altar and pray. He don't want this choir to sing as they sung to us throughout the day today. The devil don't want the pastor to stand and preach as he preached this morning. He don't want me saying things about him tonight in the service. He'd like to choke me to death when I'm talking about him. So, you see, he'll steal our spirituality until we're cold and until we're indifferent, you see, and we're not able to do anything as we normally would do it for the glory of God. I'm coming to a close here in just a minute, but I believe we ought to allow God to wrap His arms around us and to comfort us. You know, there's a song, leaning on the everlasting arms, and that's what we need to do, is to lean on the everlasting arms of God. So, now we get down to number 6. After we go through all these other processes, we're ready for using now. We're ready for using now. So, the use of the vessel is determined by the potter. And you see, we all play different parts in our Christianity. Everybody wasn't called to preach. Everybody, unfortunately, doesn't always have the capability maybe of being a Sunday school teacher. Now, maybe they could be more that would have the capability if they applied to study and to prayer and all of that. A lot of folk just like to use the excuse, I can't teach because I don't know anything about the Bible. That's because they don't ever read the Bible. Amen. And there's a lot of study and a lot of prayer that goes in to teaching a Sunday school class and being that kind of leadership or being in the ministry, if you will, in whatever way it might be, whether it be in missionary work or some other work. So, today it's up to God, and God determines. God is the potter, and we're the clay. And it's up to God to determine what you're supposed to be. Now, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's not quite sure what you're supposed to be yet as a child of God. And a lot of times as young Christians, I've heard people say, well, just pray for me. I don't know what God would have me to do. Well, just be patient. Just be prayerful and just be patient and just wait on the Lord, and He'll tell you exactly what that He wants to do. So, you see, the use of this vessel is determined by the potter that makes the vessel, as I said, as he sees fits. And from the same lump of clay, he can make a beautiful porcelain, a vessel out of that, something that would be a fit for a palace, amen. Here's the thing with the potter and the clay. The potter can make something that could be in a king's palace, beautiful enough and nice enough and good enough that a king would want it in his palace. Or it could be a lump of clay that would only be fit for the garbage, if you will, amen. And so I'm glad that God saved me and cleaned me up and made something out of me, amen, to where I'm not going to be garbage, amen. I'm not God's garbage. And if you're born by the Holy Spirit of God tonight, you are not God's garbage. And God did not throw you out to garbage. God made something out of you. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I know we're not supposed to exalt ourselves as far as that, but I say this in the name of the Lord. We are something because we are created and made by God, amen. You are something somebody, don't you never let somebody, if you're a Christian tonight, if you've been saved, don't you never let nobody tell you that you're nothing, that you're a nobody, because if you're born again, you're somebody. Hallelujah to God. You're somebody. You're a child of the King. If somebody wants to know who your daddy is, tell them you're a king's son. You're a king's daughter. And if you're saved by the blood, you are a king's son and a king's daughter tonight. Aren't you thankful? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I come tonight. I don't know whether you are tonight or not. So Paul says in Romans, he said, shall the things formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Oh, how ungrateful us, how ungrateful it is for us to complain about a sovereign God and a sovereign God's will. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, as we live our lives for our blessed Master, that's what He is, a blessed Master, let us determine to be a yielded clay. Amen. We need to be a yielded clay. And we need to be a yielded clay in the hands of God. Amen. That's where you want to be, is in the hands of God. You can be in no better hands than in the hands of God. Amen. Well, all state thinks that you needs to be in their hands. Amen. And maybe so with certain things up here on the face of this earth. But when it comes to doing the work of the Lord, amen, we need to be in the hands of God. Amen. That way, you know, He constantly works on me, Brother Earl. He has to work on me a little every day. Every day. And He's going to have to work on me until I drop this old flesh and I get that glorified body that's likened unto His. There's always going to be some kind of a little flaw that's going to be in my life and this old lump of clay that's standing before you here tonight. I'm here to tell you I'm not perfect, amen? And I don't use that as no excuse by any means, but I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but we serve one, I believe it that He is. I want to share in my closing remarks something I found that I liked so well that went along with the message that I felt that God gave us today. And I'd like to read this to you, if I may, in my closing remarks today. It's talking about a man that stopped off in a china shop, and he spied a cup. He saw a cup that was there, and he said, could I touch it? He said, could I touch it? He thought it was so beautiful. He just wanted to touch that cup. He said, I've never seen such a beautiful, special cup before. The shopkeeper took it down and handed it to the man. Oh, it was exquisite. He held it up. He turned it. And then it began to speak. It said, this is what the cup said. It said, I wasn't always like this. I was once a lump of clay. The potter picked me up and put me on a turning wheel. I became so dizzy that I yelled, stop. But he said, not yet. Hasn't there been a lot of times in our lives as God, since we've been saved now, hasn't there been a lot of times that God's been working on us, trying to make something better out of us than what we was, and we've yelled stop, and God said not yet. So on and on, around and around I went. Then all of a sudden it stopped, and I was put in the oven. I can't tell you how that felt. It was indescribable. I yelled stop, but he said not yet again. Finally he took me out and let me cool, But next, he came with a paint and a paintbrush, and he began to put paint all over me. The fumes were unbearable. I thought I would suffocate, and again I yelled, stop. But again he said, not yet. After what seemed like an unbelievable amount of time, sometimes we think time ain't going to never pass. He put down his paintbrush and said, there. And finally set me aside to dry. It was good to sit for a while, but the next thing I knew, I was back in the oven. And this time it was even hotter. I thought I was dying and faintly and said, stop. But of course again he said, not yet. You see what I'm talking about? It takes time for God sometimes to make us into what he wants us to be. Said, not yet. It was the closest to death I have ever felt. When I could barely think and was sure I was breathing my last, I was ready and completely given up. He tenderly reached for me and took me out and set me in front of a mirror and said, take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
We need to do that every once in a while as a Christian. It would just be good just to stand before the mirror as a Christian now and just take a look at our Christianity. Listen. And I said with disbelief, that isn't me. And he tenderly replied, you are now a precious vessel. You wanted me to stop the process many times, but if I would have stopped turning too soon, you would have crumbled. If I had taken you out of the oven too soon, the hardening would not have held. I'm glad that God knew exactly how much time we needed in the oven that he put us in so we would hold together. But you stood the test, and now you are a beautiful masterpiece, fit for service. Go and serve now, beautiful one. As we leave the potter's house today, God being the master potter, I believe he's longing for each one of us to yield to him so that he can shape us into beautiful vessels to be used in his kingdom. There's a question on the table, if you will. Will we surrender our wills to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we cause him pain? And will we cause him heartache? Or will we bring him joy because we have surrendered to his will? And you know what? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. Would you come to Piano Becky for just a second? God wants nothing more than just what he wants. And I want to tell you this tonight in this service. God has never requested anything that somebody couldn't do depending upon him. You know, I felt when I was being called into the ministry, I thought, Lord, I can't do that. Well, I still can't without him, but I thought I can't do that. But you know, with him, all things are possible according to the Scripture. All things are possible. So you may have something on your heart and your mind that God would have you to do. And maybe you've been resisting the will of the Lord in your life. When we resist God, it holds us back. And when we're held back, we can't move forward. And in our Christianity, even though we're saved, we don't want to be at a standstill. We want to move forward for His honor and for His glory. What does God maybe have for you to do? What would he love for you to be? What kind of vessel would be pleasing unto God for you to be tonight? Do his will. Let us stand, if you will, for just a moment as they sing. If there's anybody feels like coming and praying about anything, or maybe something that God would have them to do, or I'm telling you here tonight, God will save you if you're unsaved. He'll save you. And you've got an opportunity to come and be saved if you want to be saved tonight. And then let God work on you and make you a vessel that He would have you to be. So, children of God, are you the vessel that God wants you to be tonight? What is His will in your life? Do you know what that will is? If you do, let's move forward with it tonight. And let Him work with you and work on you and create something that is useful for the glory of God.